Good afternoon. Welcome in to another edition of the Brad Sesmat Show here on Sports360AZ.com. I am not the big guy, Brad Sesmat. Brad taking the day. Actually, Jared, the week off. The week off? Full week for Brad?
Full week off. Anniversary.
Let's be nice.
Father's Day, a lot going on at once.
Yeah, going up to, I think I heard Lake Powell area. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct, and he is nowhere to be found. There's no reception up there, and what I would give to be able to do the same where I don't have to look at my phone or anything like that for at least two minutes.
I'm going to give you – I'll tell you what. You only need to look at your phone one time, and that's in case in about 20 minutes if Luis Gonzalez has not called in, then you have to look at your phone, get his number, and get him on the phone.
So easy enough.
We are going to visit with Luis Gonzalez today, talk a little bit about the Arizona Diamondbacks with their win last night. We'll also talk about the no-no in La La Land. We will discuss that and just catch up with my good buddy Luis Gonzalez. Looking forward to that coming up, like I said, about 15 minutes or so from right now. Also, a lot else on the plate, on the docket, if you will. I'm excited to be here. You know, I get invited back. Probably once every, I don't know, 3-4 months. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, to be quite honest with you.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing that I'm invited back, or is it a bad thing because it takes 4 months to do so?
I think it's a good thing.
Okay. All right. I'll keep it as a good thing.
Because we're glass half full here on
the Brad
Sesmat Show.
There you go. Half full. It's full. I don't know what it's full of, but it's half full. So I get called back, and there's so much stuff that has happened over the last week, let alone months since I've been on the radio. It's like I just want to throw it all up on you guys and just tell you everything I think, but I don't have time for that, so I'll keep my points to a minimum. I do want to say this. Earlier this week, the passing of Tony Gwynn, it's something that is, you know, I just lost a dear friend of mine this year as well, also at the age of 54, who was the biggest San Diego fan in the world. Padres, Chargers, I don't think he went all the way back to the Clippers days, but he was a big, big fan of Tony Gwynn. And if there's a silver lining in any of this, I'm pretty sure my good buddy Stan Lund was waiting at the gates for Mr. Padre and welcomed him in and, you know, maybe talk some baseball with him. So Tony Gwynn, one of the greatest hitters we will ever see in the game of baseball. You know, it wasn't flashy, but the guy didn't get out very much. Look at his lifetime average of 338, 434 strikeouts in his career. Mark Reynolds could do that in a year and a half in Major League Baseball. So just want to give my thoughts there. Obviously very sad. I know it's going to spark a controversy on smokeless tobacco. You know, hopefully these players understand what it can do to you. And, you know, you're a grown man. You make your decision. I don't know that baseball will ever be able to ban it. It's just going to be something that players are going to have to do. But it was sad to see Tony Gwynn go at such an early age, at 54 years old. All right, today's top story is brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Wait for it. There it is. Jackpot. Located in the beautiful White Mountains just outside of Pine Top in eastern Arizona. Head up now and enjoy their beautiful, cooler weather. That's the Honda Resort and Casino. Last night, it was exciting as the Arizona Diamondbacks waited till the very end to get a win.
That one is in the center field, and the D-backs win it. Their fourth walk-off win this year, and you always say, Bob, Tony Campana, just keep it on the ground.
There you go, keep it on the ground. He usually keeps it in the other team's glove, to be quite honest. Tony Campana batting a whopping 150 after that at-bat. But Gibby thought he was the perfect guy in that situation.
It was great. Actually, it couldn't work out better to have him up there just because had a guy on third base, and with just his wheels, the kind of pressure to make him come in and cheat in. Got the bat and the ball. You know, one of the things we encourage him to do is try and get the ball on the ground, as they all play in so far on him. If he puts the ball on the ground, he's got a great opportunity to you know, have success, get on base. And he hit a couple balls to center field in the air. That's just not, it just can't be his game. So it was good to see him do that, and obviously big for us to get the win. Chris Owings with leadoff double.
Hey, it was a nice win for the Diamondbacks. I mean, look, this season is, you know, pretty much all for naught. They're not going to do anything. They're not a postseason contender, even though I've heard players say, hey, we're not out of the wild card. Hey, memo, yeah, you are. You're out of the wild card. It's not happening. By the way, anyone know what you get when you have a walk-off hit for the Arizona Diamondbacks. You know what you wake up to the next day, Jared Cohen?
A free ticket to Reno, Nevada.
You, Tony Campana, have just won yourself an all-expenses-paid trip, at least the bus fare, to Reno, Nevada to join your new teammates in AAA. Yeah, that's right. The Diamondbacks have optioned Tony Campana. Bad timing, guys. The dude just won a game for you. Could you do this Friday? Maybe just wait till Friday? No, next morning. Hey, Tony, thanks. You're out of here. He goes down to AAA, to Reno. They call up Matt Stites. Now, some of you might not remember Matt Stites. He is the piece, if you will, in the Ian Kennedy trade when Ian Kennedy was dealt to the San Diego Padres. Stites is a hard-throwing reliever. And, Jared, you were telling me he's kind of been lights out down in Tucson since he got there.
Yeah, I like to do, like, a minor league blog every week on the site, sports360az.com. And Stites has just been stellar. He started off the year as the closer in Mobile, AA, and they brought him to AAA, and he's the perfect 12-for-12 since. He's just been absolutely incredible. So it was only a matter of time before they gave him a shot up with the big league club.
All right, well, he gets the shot, and he will join his team today. The Diamondbacks do have a day game against Milwaukee to wrap up this four-game set. It's been kind of a wild series. You know, obviously, two nights ago with the bean of Ryan Braun. You know, I heard Gibby talk, and you could tell Gibby. I think Gibby wanted to hit him the night before, but Gibby had already been tossed from the game because he was arguing like the review. He gets tossed, and you could tell there was a spot in that game in the first game they missed it. So then in game two, they decide to go ahead with two guys already on to get the retaliation from whenever that was, or for all the different balls that have been thrown at Diamondbacks players in this Brewers series. They get it. And then the next batter goes yard, grand slam, off Ziegler. Oops. That's not really how retaliation is supposed to work when you give the team four runs where they take the lead and they win the game. But that's been the Diamondback season. You know, last night, a little bit of a redemption for Ziegler, who gets the win after giving up the loss the night before. So, anyway, you know, it's been an interesting series. I think Braun and the Brew Crew are ready to get out of town, and I'm pretty sure the Diamondbacks are ready to see them leave town as well. That wasn't the only thing going on last night, though, in Major League Baseball as we continue here on the Brad Sesmatch Show on sports360az.com. I am Mark Asher filling in for the big guy today. I'm glad you could be a part of it. If you're joining us online, you can watch, stream. I brushed my hair today, everything. I feel good. There was a bigger game going on. Forget Tony Campana. How about Clayton Kershaw?
There's one out to go. One miserable, measly out. 0-2. Kershaw pitches a no-hitter, a career-high 15 strikeouts, and although it's lost in the excitement, the Dodgers are four games behind the San Francisco Giants.
The great Vin Scully, the no-no from Clayton Kershaw. I think it was, the 22nd in Dodger history, second this year. As Beckett threw one just a month ago, Clayton Kershaw's lights out. I mean, he's the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. There's no doubt about it, in my opinion. And he comes through with a no-no, almost had a perfect game. Throwing error, really the only difference in it being a perfect game. It was against Colorado. They did get a big lead early in that game. And, you know, Kershaw, I think I heard him say, hey, I just don't want to screw it up. I mean, they gave me eight runs. Like, I don't want to mess this up. Dodgers are starting to get it going a little bit. They have closed the gap just a bit between them and the San Francisco Giants. Vin Scully with a great call. Although I still don't like Vin Scully.
You don't like Vin Scully?
Nope.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because about 17 years, no, probably more than that, 17, about 17 years ago, I don't hold a grudge or anything, but 17 years ago, I was a reporter for the radio station at the time, and my job was to go cover the Diamondbacks. I was the Diamondbacks insider. Well, before the games, I used to set up guests and put them on my cell phone and get other players or managers or whoever. So one day, I get Vin Scully on the show, right? Vin Scully does a 7.5-minute interview with the radio host at the time. I don't remember who it was. And I'm standing behind him with the cell phone, right? I give it to him. He does his interview, hangs up the phone, and just lays into me because it was 7.5 minutes long. And don't you know that I'm trying to prepare for the game? And I felt like saying, Vin, you're 80 years old. You've been doing this for 50 years. You don't need to prepare for the game. You're good. You're good to go. This was also like 2 hours before the game. I felt like my grandfather was yelling at me.
Wow.
So,
yeah, I probably wouldn't like him if I were you too.
I like him. I'm just kidding. But it was embarrassing. I'm like, what do you want me to do?
That's not
I
right.
I hand you the phone. You talk to the guys. Anyway, so I've always been respectful in the future when I did have guests on. If they say I got 7 minutes, I keep them 7 minutes. Don't keep them 10. Keep them 7. But I'm going to keep Gonzo like 30 minutes just because I like to tick him off. All right, Luis Gonzalez joining us in just a few here, probably about 5 minutes from now. We'll talk to Gonzo. One other thing I want to mention in the opening segment. Actually, two. I take that back. Two things I want to mention. One, props to Kurt Warner. We're going to try to get Kurt on the show today, but he is traveling with his family. They're going out of town. Kurt Warner going into the Ring of Honor Monday night opening week for the Arizona Cardinals as they take on the San Diego Chargers. Great honor. Deserved, no doubt. Kurt Warner's a stud. He's just one of the nicest human beings I've ever met. Great football player. Goes up into the Ring of Honor. That'll be special. I think if I look ahead, I really only see one other Cardinal that I think will be in the Ring of Honor, and that's Larry Fitzgerald, with the possibility of Patrick Peterson. Darnell Dockett, great player. Adrian Wilson, maybe. Down the road. Actually, I take that back. Adrian Wilson will be in as well.
What about Anquan?
No. No, not at all. Not even close.
Okay.
Anquan's done too much since he left.
That's true.
He's done too much since he left, and Bolden was kind of, I mean, he was great here. Don't get me wrong. Him and Fitz together. But he was always kind of second fiddle to Fitz. I think Fitz gets in. I take that back. Adrian Wilson gets in. 100%. I didn't think about that. Adrian Wilson gets in. Fitz gets in, and I think possibility of Patrick Peterson down the road. But that's it. I mean, let's not make this everyone gets in kind of thing. So Dockett and some of these other guys have been very good for the Cardinals. That doesn't necessarily get you into the Ring of Honor. A lot of the Ring of Honor guys are actually Hall of Famers. So, but props to Kurt Warner on that. And then finally, I want to talk about this later, but there's a story coming out of the NBA as the draft is a week from today. The NBA draft. I always love the drafts, football and baseball, or basketball. I don't like baseball draft. Football and basketball draft. The NBA draft is next Thursday, and the report's coming out, you know, the number one pick, who's it going to be for the Cleveland Cavaliers 2 years in a row? They royally screwed it up last year by taking Bennett. That guy stinks. This year, they could royally screw it up again. You know how they would do that? If they take Joel Embiid with the number one overall pick, I am telling you, mark this down, Jared Cohen, write it down. What's today? The 19th of June, 2014. Mark Asher, in his once-a-year fill-in for Brad Sesmat, said that Joel Embiid will be a bust in the NBA. And it's already being confirmed. Joel Embiid suffers a foot injury. The word is he might have broke his foot. He's already had back surgery. Now he's got broken feet. Hey, Greg Oden, why don't you call Joel Embiid, tell him what it's like to play in the NBA? Because this is the path we're going down. This is very similar to Kevin Durant and Oden a few years ago. I'm telling you right now, Jabari Parker is the safer pick at number one. I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar like Durant, but he will be a good, very good, all-star caliber NBA player for a long time. Joel Embiid will not, but everyone's always fascinated with these big guys. And you can't teach height, right? You also can't teach broken fifth metatarsal or whatever's in your foot. Can't teach that. You also can't fix it. I hear my music. I'm getting all fired up. How much time do I have left on the show? Not much, huh? I got to get going here. All right. Jared, when we come back, we're going to visit with Luis Gonzalez of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Talk to Gonzo just about baseball, his thoughts on the D-backs, the move calling up Matt Stites today, what that means for the team, and being a part of a no-hitter, which Gonzo was. I don't know how many he was a part of. I'm going to ask him. That's coming up next. Mark Asher filling in for Brad Sesmat, the big guy, right here on Sports360AZ.com.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
All right, D-backs get the win last night. A little walk-off for Tony Campana and then a walk-off to Reno for him. He goes down. The newest member of the Arizona Diamondbacks, Matt Stites, gets called up. From Reno, hard-throwing reliever that was part of the Ian Kennedy deal. We're going to talk about that and more with our good friend Luis Gonzalez of the Arizona Diamondbacks. What's up, Gonzo?
What's going on, Ash?
How you doing, man?
Good.
Hey, I was looking for your Twitter handle. You don't have one, do you?
No, no Twitter, no Facebook for me. I'm old school, sorry.
You are old school. And you know what I remember? I tell people all the time, you know, when people ask me about my radio career and that I'm not in it anymore, they say, what are some of your great memories? And I say, honestly, some of my best memories are sitting in the Arizona Diamondbacks locker room with Gonzo and Mark Grace and Brenly. And, I mean, you know, John and I used to be sitting there for like an hour and a half after the game with you guys. And Gracie's over there busting out his Winstons and a Tecate and, we sitting in his underwear. But you know what? And we would just sit there and talk baseball. And, I mean, that would be one or two nights a month that we would do that with you guys. You would do that every night. And those are great memories. That's old school, and that's what it's about. Now these guys can't wait to get out and get on Insta, Twitter, or whatever, you know?
Yeah, you're exactly right. The game has changed so much. A lot of times the media doesn't even have to report on half the things on the players. They're doing it themselves, putting it out there. So, those were the good old days where guys would just hang out after games for an hour, 2 hours after, and just talk about the game and different parts of it. And we miss that. I mean, that's an integral part of baseball, to keep camaraderie with guys and things like that. But in today's society, the game's changed a little bit.
Honestly, do you think it changed around the time when baseball banned alcohol? And I know that, not that you guys would sit there and get, you know, jackhammered after a game, but, you know, have a cold one, relax, take the edge off after just playing a big game. And then they banned it. And I understand why they did, because there was some bad stuff going on and some guys were killed and injuring people and drunk driving. But, you know, no one sticks around anymore to drink a Red Bull at the end of the game, you know?
Yeah, you know, I there's a lot of negativity that goes on with that. But I was a big believer that when you're at home, there shouldn't be alcohol in the locker room, because you have to get behind the wheel of a car and drive home. When you're on the road, the players either travel by bus or cabs, and they don't have a car there to get around that they're driving. So I always thought it was easier when you're on the road just to be able to do that. At home, you don't necessarily have to have a cold one or anything like that to talk about the game. So I still feel like guys don't hang around as much in the locker room and just talk the game of baseball. There's more guys in tune now to just get out of the locker room and start heading home.
I think you were the one that told me when you went to Miami.
Right.
And like some of the guys didn't know who was, I don't forget who it was. Was Frank Robinson, or they didn't know somebody?
No, it was Jim Palmer.
Jim Palmer, that's right. They didn't even know who he was, right?
Yeah, there was a, we were playing in a spring training game, and Freddie Gonzalez, who manages the Atlanta Braves, him and Carlos Tosca were sitting there, and I told them, man, I bet half the guys on our team don't know who that guy is over there standing by the cage. And Freddie goes, you're crazy, man. There's no way these guys don't know if that's Jim Palmer. And I said, let's make a bet on it. And he goes, I'll bet you 50% of the guys know who he is. And I said, I bet you not even 50.
Right.
So I went around while we're stretching, and I said, does anybody know who that guy is? Well, of course, the only other veteran guy that had a lot of years in was Wes Helms. He knew exactly who Jim Palmer was, but the other guys had no clue. So I go back to Freddie, and I said, Freddie, you're right. And he goes, see, I told you 50%. I said, yeah, you're right. It wasn't 50%. It was like maybe like 10%, if that. So, that was just a fun thing. And guys don't really keep track anymore of the history of the game and the great players that have played, because, you know, they're all moving forward. We've evolved into a lot of different things now with, like we said earlier, Twitter, Facebook. Guys are into more self-promoting on the field, you know, with all the antics that go out there, instead of just playing the game and representing your city and your organization.
We are visiting with Luis Gonzalez of the Arizona Diamondbacks right here on the Brad Sesmatt Show. The big guy out, Mark Asher, filling in on Sports360AZ.com and up in the White Mountains. Hey, no-no last night for Kershaw with the Dodgers. Obviously, I think he's the best pitcher in the game, if not one of the top two or three. He goes, throws a no-no. In your career, how many were you a part of, and were you on the winning and losing side? Do you remember?
I think I'm a part of five of them.
Well, obviously the perfect game, right?
The perfect game.
Right.
I was with the Houston Astros when Daryl Kyle pitched the no-hitter against the New York Mets, I believe it was.
Yeah.
I was with the Diamondbacks when the Marlins threw one against us. And how many is that? Three, four?
Three, yeah. Was that Jimenez? Oh, no, that was the Rockies. Were you on the Diamondbacks when the Rockies, Jimenez, no-hit him? Or that was the year before you came,
I think. Believe I was.
Yeah, I think you were there.
Yeah.
That was the game I forgot to go cover it, and I got yelled at Monday. Anyway.
You get in trouble for doing that one.
Yeah, you forget. You know, hey, it was Friday night, I wanted to go out, and they're like, do you have tape from Friday's known hitter? I'm like,
no. I think I was on the winning side of two, and then on the or two or three, and then, you know, losing side of a couple. But.
They just did the 10-year anniversary of Randy's, and I was on to ask. Because even when he was walking out the field, he still looked like he was pissed off. Like, I mean, did he enjoy it at all? Like, when you guys got back in the locker room, I mean, smiles,
you know,
laughing?
I think he did. I mean, Randy, he's misunderstood a lot. He thrived on the intimidation factor on the field.
Right.
Off the field, he's, you know, I like to call him the gentle giant, because on the field, everybody thinks, you know, you're a tough guy out there and everything like that, but that's the way he wanted to be perceived by the opponents, and that's the way we liked him being perceived too. But when he got that ball in his hand, man, you know, when you're throwing 95 to 100 miles an hour, you can do deadly harm with that. And with that slider that he had in fastball, just amazing the numbers that he was able to put up in his career.
Luis Gonzalez of the Diamondbacks, our guest here on the Brad Sesamatt Show. Well, let's talk about last night. You know, nice walk-off for Campana, and then he gets sent down to Reno. I get it. The guy was batting .150. How exciting is the franchise for Stites? I mean, this was the guy we kept hearing about in the trade for Ian Kennedy. And you know, obviously now he's here. He's done some pretty good things from what I see in Reno, and he's going down there and closing games. What do you think his role is with this team?
Well, I mean, there's no telling. It just depends what Gibby and his staff want to do with him. But, you know, he is an exciting young pitcher, and we're hoping that he's turned the corner and he's going to do well for us. And, you know, when these guys come up and down from Reno and Double A, it doesn't necessarily have to be from Triple A. We've got some great young players in Double A. I think once you get to Double A, that's the big test. If you can play there, you can play in the big leagues. Triple A is usually a holding ground sometimes for guys, veteran guys and things like that. But a lot of times guys come directly from Double A that are able to come up and perform. Look at Gerardo Barr. He's one of those guys that was able to do that. But, you know, we're trying to find lightning in a bottle and trying to find that spark for our team to help get us over the top. And we're hoping that he's one of those guys that can help generate some excitement here for the Diamondbacks.
Hey, you've been on great teams, and in your career you were on some bad teams. How hard is it to stay focused? And I know I've heard some of your players say, you know, hey, we think we're still alive in the wild card. I don't know that I believe that, but I'm fine with them believing that, 9.5 games out of the wild card spot. I mean, look at Kansas City. They just rambled off 10 in a row, and now they're in first place. So I guess anything can happen. But how hard is it to stay focused when you're on a team that, you know, a 4-game winning streak seems like a 20-game winning streak? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think right now it's easier. And you're exactly right. When you get into August, September, and you're way out, then it gets tougher. Then you start seeing guys playing for themselves instead of the team. But, right now, the way the division is stacking up, the Giants are starting to come back to everybody else. The Dodgers are playing a little bit better. And if you take away our slow start right out of the gate, we would probably be okay. But the simple fact that we didn't get out, we dug a hole for ourselves, and we've been digging out. Now we just have to maintain and try to win series 2 out of 3, hopefully take a couple 3 out of 3s, and, you know, just to try to get back into it. You can't look at the overall picture. You got to try to maintain yourself and not look at the teams that you're chasing.
Hey, I know you're a Cardinal fan. See Kurt Warner's going in the Ring of Honor?
Yeah, that's, you know, it's been a long time coming. He's a great guy and a great player, and, you know, he's one of those guys that took him to a Super Bowl here. Unfortunately, they didn't win, but they were so close. But when he took the field out there for the Cardinals, it definitely took them to a different level.
I was saying earlier on the show, I said there's two more guys I think that from like this era that go Ring of Honor: Adrian Wilson and Fitzgerald. I don't know if there's anyone else. I mean, maybe Peterson, but he's got to do it for, you know, 8-10 more years.
Yeah, you know what? And they're an exciting team. I think they've done a great job the last couple years to try to get back to where they were, the old Cardinals. And we're hoping that they continue to do that. I mean, we all try to support each other's teams here in the Valley and in the state of Arizona. And you always want to see the other guys do well. You want, especially your own team, but at the same time, you got to root for the good guys. So you hope the Cardinals come out strong this year and play well.
All right, last one. You get into this World Cup at all?
Well, I saw the defending champs got ousted yesterday, so they didn't play real well.
That's like the Miami Heat losing in the first round or something. I mean,
absolutely.
That's,
you know what I love about the World Cup? I love all the drama. I think the thing that has to change for me with that is the all the Academy Awards that go out for, you know, a guy getting tapped and then all of a sudden he's laying on the ground like a fish out of water. He's floundering around and
right.
They got to bring a card out to get him off. And then 2 seconds later, he's standing on the side again just to try to get a guy a red card.
Right.
But it's funny, I mean, just to see all that stuff. But it's exciting at the same time to see all these countries, the way they support their teams. And, man, it's almost like NASCAR when it's a cult following that these people have for this.
Hey, and I saw when Dempsey got hit in the face the other day. Like, at first, I'm watching. I'm like, oh, get up. And then they showed the replay, and he actually got kicked right in the face. And I was like, okay, you can stay down on that one. That one looked like it hurt.
There's a lot of legitimate ones, and there's some that really, really can be up for some serious Academy Awards.
All right, I lied. One more. I heard you do a commercial the other day. The triplets are turning 16?
Yeah, 16 years old.
Oh,
it's amazing.
God, dude. I'm sorry. That makes me feel old because I remember when they were born.
You're getting up there.
Yeah, well, I am getting up there. I just hit 40, brother.
That's awesome.
All right, bro. Hey, I appreciate it as always. Great stuff. I'll see you at the ballpark sometime, all right?
All right. Sounds good, Ash.
There you go. Luis Gonzalez of the Arizona Diamondbacks, our guest here on the Brad Sesmat Show. His triplets, two daughters and a son, are 16. I'm sorry. That makes me – I remember when they were born. That just makes me feel old, quick, really quick. I think they had just been born when he got here, if I'm not mistaken. Like, They were newborns or maybe less than a year old.
Arizona's favorite triplets.
Yeah, they're the best. They're the best. His little son's a baller, too. He can play some baseball from what I've heard. All right, we got a lot still to come on the show, including Pat Riley saying everyone needs to take a chill pill. I'll give you something to trend. That's coming up next. Brad Sesmat is out. I am in. Mark Asher from Southwest Wealth Strategies filling in for the big guy. My pleasure to be here with you guys. And hopefully you are enjoying it. Sports360AZ.com. We're back right after this.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at Sports360AZ.com.
Want to trend something? I'm pissed, okay? So go ahead, get it out there. I think everybody needs to get a grip. You know, media, Heat, players, organization, you know, all of our fans, you got to get a grip.
Oh, the slick one, Pat Riley, not too thrilled today as he did a little an interview that was televised nationally by ESPN and NBA TV. Obviously, he is kind of the brains behind the Miami Heat organization, put together the big three, and now everyone's tripping, right? Everyone is, worried about what's next for the big three. And rightfully so. They got their butts handed to them by the San Antonio Spurs. I had a buddy of mine tweet, oh, man, if LeBron didn't cramp up, that would have been interesting. I said, no, it wouldn't have. He goes, you're trying to tell me if the Heat were up 2-0, it wouldn't have been interesting. I go, it would have been more interesting than it was. I still think the Spurs would have won four games before the Heat did. They were just that much better of a team. Spurs are good. And I don't think Duncan and Ginobili and Parker and none of those guys are going anywhere. I think they'll all be back. They might lose Patty Mills, you know. They might lose a couple guys, but I think they'll all be back. Plus, Kawhi Leonard's just about to take on stardom, in my opinion. But back to the Miami Heat, you know, Pat Riley is ticked off or pissed, as he said, and that's what, if you want to trend that on Twitter, go ahead and do that. He says, because everyone's talking about, what's next for the Heat. Is it time to rebuild? What are the guys going to do? The big three, LeBron James. Chris Bosh said they didn't have any fun this year. Yeah, you did. You had a ton of fun. You just didn't have fun in the last five games or four of the five games. You had fun the game you won. Riley continued and made mention of other great teams that have, lost a title and come back and still been good.
I've been here, for 45 years in the NBA, and I've witnessed dynasties. I've witnessed great teams. The 80s Lakers, five championships in 12 years. So what does that mean? Seven times they didn't win. They didn't run. They didn't win. You got to deal with it. You got to come back.
I like what Riley's doing here. You see what Riley's doing, right? Does everyone not see exactly what Pat Riley's doing? He's pissed at the media and this and trend that. This is a direct message to the big three. Magic Johnson, James Worthy, they wouldn't have run. Byron Scott, Kareem, they don't run.
He also mentioned the Celtics and the Bulls and even this Spurs regime as part of that quote, but for length purposes, I shortened it.
Yeah, but I mean, look, Riley can most talk about the Los Angeles Lakers. He was the architect of that as well. So he's basically saying, look, you want to be one of the greats? Don't run. Now's not the time to, hey, LeBron, where's your, you know, where are you taking your talents to next? And Riley doesn't think the big three are going to leave. And this is what he said in this press conference.
Yes, he has the right to do whatever he wants to do. And, you know, I'm confident that we are an organization that's been strong. Mickey's been a great owner. We've got great leadership, great coaching, great discipline. You know, we've got great fans. You know, I didn't come down here 19 years ago for a quick trip to South Beach and get a suntan. I can guarantee you that. And I don't think they did either.
Riley is pretty tan. He might have gone there for a suntan. But anyway, look, this is a big question mark in the NBA. What are these guys going to do? People, you know, is LeBron going to entertain a homecoming of sorts back to Cleveland, make amends with the state of Ohio? Maybe. Because I'll tell you right now, if I'm LeBron, it's all up to what he wants to do. Chris Bosh has become a one-dimensional NBA player. He plays a little D and he shoots threes, or two-dimensionals. He doesn't do anything. He's not a max player. Dwayne Wade, first of all, Dwayne Wade's not opting out because he's owed all that money. Dwayne Wade is a shadow of what he used to be. He's not even close. Those legs, no one wants those legs anymore. And if I'm LeBron, who is still at the top of his game, MVPs, you know, four finals in a row, two losses in those finals, but four trips in a row, this isn't about anybody but LeBron. Because LeBron holds all the cards. What do you want to do next? LeBron James wants to win titles. He's got two. I'm not saying he feels he has to have six like Jordan, but he wants more than two. Where else could he go to do that? He's not going to New York. Not happening. That's a mess. He's not going, you know, there's going to be all these other teams that pop. Oh, he'll go to Chicago. I don't think he's going to Chicago either. Who's he going to rely on, Derrick Rose, to get healthy? It does make some sense, him going to Cleveland, believe it or not. Going back home, make amends. He's from Akron. Win a title or two in Cleveland. You win a title in Cleveland? That's better than winning a title in a lot of other places. You got to win in a big city. Okay, go win a title in Chicago. How many do they have already? They got a ton. One more? Great. Jordan did six. Thanks, LeBron. You guys won. Miami, not a great sports town. They got two there. Three, two with LeBron. You know, he's not going to Boston. And if he did, what's another title mean there? Nothing. What a title means to Cleveland? Has the city of Cleveland won anything ever? The Indians were in a World Series, right? They lost to the Marlins.
Is that the only time they've been in? I mean, the Browns had to have been in a Super Bowl
or
two.
Oh, I'm sorry. They did win it the one year. They won the World Series. With Willie Mays Hayes and Wild Thing. Didn't they win it that year?
I think they won it
that year. They beat who's the guy that he threw at his own kid in the father-son game? Anyway, I'm joking. That's from Major League, by the way, if you're just tuning in. Cleveland's never won anything. Browns, I mean, no one's won anything in the city of Cleveland. You bring LeBron, plus the guy's boy Johnny Manziel's in town. They could take over the world, or at least Cleveland. And you've got Kyrie Irving. I'm telling you right now, if I'm LeBron James, I would rather have Kyrie Irving as my right-hand man than Dwayne Wade.
I agree. I love Kyrie Irving's game. He is just incredible.
And he's young.
Because he plays for Cleveland, I don't think anyone really realizes how great he is and
he's
how that
very
team has
good.
Struggled. He is really good.
And let me throw this little I don't know, wrench in the plan. What if Cleveland says, okay, we're not going to be stupid and draft Joel Embiid. We're not going to take Jabari Parker. We're not going to – actually, what we're going to do is we're going to offer that number one pick along with a couple of other our guys and see if we can make a play for Kevin Love or another big man. Maybe it's not Kevin Love. But go get another veteran, the other three of the big three, and your big three becomes Kyrie Irving, somebody, and LeBron James. Maybe that somebody's Kevin Love.
And then maybe they sign Carmelo Anthony.
Or maybe it's Anthony. I don't know. I wouldn't put Anthony with LeBron. Carmelo Anthony's garbage. He's a loser. He doesn't win. He's a good player, but he's not a winner. I know, oh, he won a title at Syracuse. Okay, he was a freshman. He didn't know better. They were the best team. McNamara and Hakeem Warwick was there too. That was a good team. And Carmelo was a great scorer, but he wasn't necessarily a winner. He's gotten to the NBA. He hasn't been a winner. He doesn't make anyone better. He can score. He'll drop 50 on you if you let him. But doesn't make you it makes you a good player. Doesn't make you a great, like superstar level championship caliber player. Tim Duncan is that. LeBron James is that. You know, Kevin Garnett. It took him a while, but he got there. They're just winners. You know, Magic, Bird, winners. Jordan, winners. Patrick Ewing, not necessarily a winner. He was good. And it's not just because he didn't win one. When he got there, he didn't do what he had to do to win it. Sometimes you just have to take over. And I just don't see Carmelo Anthony being one of those guys. So anyway, Pat Riley's not happy. The NBA draft is a week away. I do think there's going to be a lot of wheeling and dealing going on. I really do. I think you're going to see a lot of draft picks moved. I think you're going to see some veterans moved. I think you're going to see some teams that are going to try to get multiple picks. And you're going to see some teams that have multiple picks try to make that one pick, i.e. the Phoenix Suns. Take one of those, or three of those picks and maybe make it one. Because you're not bringing three new rookie, young, fresh guys into the organization. You already got a ton of young guys in this organization. And we're going to talk about Kevin Love in just a second, maybe make an appearance with the Phoenix Suns.
And speaking really quick before we go to break, 30 years ago today was arguably one of the best drafts.
Hold on, let me go.
One of the best NBA drafts in history. Can you name the four of the players that were taken in that draft?
So first pick was Hakeem Olajuwon. Second pick was Sam Bowie. Good job, Portland. Third pick was Michael Jordan. Was the fourth pick a star? Fifth pick was Barkley, I believe, right?
Barkley was in there, and there's one more
John Stockton.
Hall of Fame. John Stockton. Wow. Yeah. Look at you. You don't have any rust on you, do you?
Nah, that's all right. I actually have that story pulled up online. No, I'm just kidding. Nothing
gets past you.
No. John Stockton and there was another very good player in that draft, too, wasn't there?
We can look it up during the break.
Yeah, I think there was another decent, maybe not Hall of Famer, but a couple other really good players from that draft. Was Perkins in that draft?
Sam Perkins?
Yeah.
I think he might have been.
I think he was. Now, Perkins wasn't a Hall of Famer. He was a good player in the NBA for a long time. That was Jared Cohen, by the way. All right, everyone's gone. Brad Sassman's gone. Eric Sorensen, Egon, everyone. It's just fill in Friday on a Thursday. I said Friday. Anyway. All right, when we come back, we will talk more about the Phoenix Suns, the NBA draft a week away. What would you do with your three picks? And we'll talk about some of the other stuff going on. Plus, I want to see who's watching World Cup soccer, football, coming up on, is it Saturday? Sunday. That's right, Sunday. Sunday is the next game against Portugal. We'll talk about that in just a minute. I'm Mark Asher, filling in for the big guy, Brad Sassman. You can follow me on Twitter, MarkAsher32, Facebook, Mark Asher, or my email address, mark@southwestwealthstrategies.com. Back with more NBA right after this on Sports360AZ.com.
We're on your mobile phone and tablet at Sports360AZ.com.
Jared Cohen brought that draft up, I think I said 20 years ago, 30 years ago, the 1984 draft. Sam Perkins was in that draft as well, and he was the fourth pick. Barkley, Stockton was later in that. The Suns had a pick that year. Number 13 pick, Jay Humphries. Oops. Could have had Stockton. And then there were a few other players. Kevin Willis, the old Atlanta Hawks center, was in that draft. Melvin Turpin, who never turned into anything. Who's the other guy? Oh, Otis Thorpe.
Otis Thorpe for the Rockets. Kansas City Kings.
Kings, yeah, at the time. And then he was
ninth overall.
Yeah. So that was a good draft. A lot of people are saying this draft coming up is one of the deepest in a long, long time. A lot of people feel you can get a player at 5 and a player at 15, and they could be the same player. That's how deep it is. You know, you could have guys that are drafted late that turn into great players, you know, NBA-ready starters in the league, and some will be superstars. I like this draft, and this is why, you know, this was the year when we were kind of all, you know, pulling for the Suns to be bad so they could have a top five pick, like be really bad, and then they missed the playoffs by a game. And so now their pick is not as good as it could be, and that's okay. It was a fun season. They learned a lot. I think what they did was they made themselves appealing. And when you got a guy like Kevin Love, who's a free agent, well, he's not a free agent, but he wants out of Minnesota and is going to be traded from Minnesota, no doubt. He's going to be traded. Boston's in the mix. They have the 6th pick overall and a lot of assets, a lot of draft picks to deal with. If you're looking to rebuild, if you're Minnesota, with just draft picks, although they haven't been the best drafters as of late, Kevin Love's about all they got right, then you could do that deal. Or you could go NBA-ready types. I'm telling you right now, if I'm Golden State, I am offering a package. You know, you don't want to throw Harrison Barnes in because I don't think that's enough. You got to throw Klay Thompson in. But if you throw a package of Klay Thompson, another player, and a couple draft picks, I think Minnesota goes, we can start rebuilding around Klay Thompson because the guy can flat-out score. Although I'm just not a big fan of him and Steph Curry, in the backcourt. Like, you got to – Steph Curry's your gunner. I don't know if you can have two gunners. So you get Kevin Love in there. You know, you might have to try to throw David Lee in that mix somehow, like make them take David Lee in that contract. But if I'm Golden State, I'm trying to make a push. And if I'm Kevin Love, I'll go live in the Bay Area. He's a California guy. I'll go live in the Bay Area, make the playoffs, which he's never done in his career, and maybe have a chance to go deep in the playoffs. Because you got Iguodala, great complimentary backcourt guy that can D up anybody. Draymond Green really came on. He's a nice bench player. Harrison Barnes, you didn't get him in the game enough because you didn't have any room. Now you can make some room for him at the 2/3. So if I'm Golden State, I get aggressive. You got Steve Kerr, you got a new regime. You got to do better than win 50 games and get bounced in the first round of the playoffs. That's what Mark Jackson did. So I look for I'd look for Golden State to be aggressive, and I think Phoenix will be aggressive. I think Phoenix feels they have a chance to go out there and get Kevin Love. What would it take? I mean, I think minimum it's going to take the Morris twins, which I'm okay with. If you get Kevin Love, bye, Markieff and Marcus. Like, thanks. And I think Minnesota would look at Markieff and say, okay, he's pretty good. Is he one of the top 5 young power forwards in the game? No, but he might be a top 10 young power forward in the game. And he's young, and they seem to play together well, like when they're on the same team. You'd have to give up more if you're Phoenix. Definitely some of these draft picks that they have. And right now, Phoenix is sitting on 1 pick in the lottery. That's 14. Then they got to pick a few picks later at 18, and then they have like 26, I think, or 27. They're not keeping all 3 of those. Or if they do keep all 3, one of those is going to be a guy that is – you know, from Switzerland or something like that, that you stockpile, or, you know, Lithuania or one of those places, because you can't bring 3 new guys onto your roster. It just doesn't work that way. But, I mean, I like this draft a lot. You know, the
who's
one
your guy in this draft?
Who's my guy?
Yeah, who's your guy?
I mean, if you asked me if I had the #1 pick, who would I take?
Yes.
Jabari Parker.
That's your guy?
I just watch that guy. I think he's NBA ready. I think he has a chance to be an NBA star type player. Wiggins, I'm not sure about. I watched Wiggins a few times this year. I wasn't that impressed. The Exum kid, Dante Exum from Australia, I don't know. I'm not sure what to think about him. I mean, 6'6 point guards. I don't know. He's skilled. I just haven't seen enough about him. I do like Aaron Gordon. I don't think Aaron Gordon will be a superstar, but I do think Aaron Gordon's going to play in this league for a long time. You know, be a solid, maybe double-double kind of guy in the league.
He looks so much like Sean Marion to me. Just a little bit of a bigger Sean Marion.
Bigger Sean Marion, not as can't shoot as well. I mean, Marion got a pretty good stroke going there in his career.
He
it was ugly.
He developed it, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
Gordon has
the stroke. Sure. He's just a little bit off right now. If he develops into that, you know, you never know.
Okay, Bus Central, Doug McDermott.
Really? Yeah. I think he's pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the guy from, I'm drawing a total blank right now, Gonzaga? Adam Morrison.
You think he's Adam Morrison?
Reincarnated.
Interesting.
I love Julius Randle. And there's question marks about Randle and like some of the health questions and a couple other things. But you know what? He has a foot issue. Julius Randle is a beast. And he's like 19. He's only going to get bigger. I saw a mock draft. I think it was Chad Ford's mock draft that had Philadelphia, who's got like the 3rd and the 10th pick, getting Wiggins and Randle. To go along with...
That's insane.
To go along with Nerlens Noel and Michael Carter-Williams.
That's insane.
It's pretty good.
You're set for a long time.
You're set for a long time.
Who I love is Marcus Smart.
I like Smart. Suns don't need a point guard, Marcus Smart.
He won't be there for them.
The guy I like a lot, and I think the Suns can have a chance to get him, is James Young at number 14. Young is just one of those guys, Kentucky. He's long. I think he can play the 2 or the 3. He's got a big wingspan. He can shoot. He's athletic. That's the guy. If they stay put at number 14, that's who I'd like to see them take. They like Stauskas. I'm not sure about him. I mean, he's okay. I think he'll be gone before 14, so I don't know if they're going to have to worry about it. And then the other guy, I'm going to tell you, beware. I've watched the video on this guy, and I don't know what to think. Zach LaVine or LaVine.
See, there's my bust.
That's a bust. No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you said you
like
this guy.
No, I don't know what to think because I see a lot of Gerald Green in him.
I watched him a lot.
And I don't mean this year, Gerald Green. I mean the first 6 years of his career, Gerald Green. He can fly. His vertical's like 50 or something stupid. I mean, he can jump out of the gym. I don't think he can shoot. He didn't really play at UCLA, right?
Yeah,
he's not a point guard.
Out of control.
He was out of control. But then again, you know, you look at a guy like Vince Carter. Vince Carter was good in college, was unreal in the pros early on in his career. You know, sometimes that athleticism in the pros is what really sets you apart. I would stay away from Zach LaVine.
Me too.
Okay, we agree.
Totally agree.
A couple other guys that Rodney Hood. I think you could actually get Rodney Hood with one of your later picks. They like him a lot as well. The Phoenix Suns do. They like Stauskas. You know, we'll see. Guys later in the draft that maybe you take a flyer on. I do, believe it or not, actually like Kyle Anderson from UCLA.
Love Kyle Anderson.
You know who I think he's kind of reminds me of? Like a Boris Diaw.
Yeah, that's a great comparison.
Right? Just can kind of – and how about Boris getting a title?
Good for him, man.
Yeah, well,
he really
Suns, we
great.
Had a nickname for Boris when he left.
Hey, what was that?
Doris Xiao.
Well, he's manned up a little bit.
He has
then,
manned
apparently.
Up, and he's turned his career into a nice one. And now he has a title to go along with that. All right, we still got a lot of stuff going on the program. This is the Brad Sesmat Show. I'm Mark Asher, filling in for Mr. Brad Sesmat, who's off all week, taking a little family time. Good for him. Deserve it. This is Sports360AZ.com. As we continue talking about what is happening in the world of sports, we got a little World Cup talk as well. Coming up.